Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla, and it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is Somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person. On today's episode, you are about to meet a woman who transformed her identity and her life by using the grief that resulted from the sudden death of her son, Pablo Ramirez.
I mean, I was a business owner for 23 years, and my role as a professional leading a team of 15 full-time employees and 100 part-time employees and being responsible financially for this living, breathing business was like one character. But underneath that character of me was somebody wanting to just be more like Pablo.
Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast. I am your host, Luis Mujica. I was sick and depressed until I discovered that I could make music, and then my whole life transformed because I began learning how to listen more deeply. Listen to life, to the people around me, and to my body. That's when I realized that the body speaks through sensations, and learning this new language meant relearning my body and mind. I soon healed myself of many chronic conditions, and then began teaching others how to do so as well. Holistic Life Navigation combines nutrition, self-inquiry, and somatic experiencing to help you release stress and trauma just by listening to your own body. This podcast serves as a place to share my experiences, as well as the experiences of many others who have healed and are healing through unique, unorthodox, and unusual ways. Your time to learn begins now. Today's episode is about grief. Grief is when two things happen at once: overwhelming love that doesn't know where to go, the body constricts around it, and we feel pain. This is what heartbreak is: love imploding. It can cause nausea, fatigue, depression, suicide, and even extreme numbness, like sleepwalking through life. The second thing that occurs at the same time is the death of your own identity and story, who you were with that person, that job, that age. When it ends, your story and your future of you ends as well. You die too. This is the cause of the panic that's part of grief. Grief is not a problem. It's a friend. It's here to get us back in touch with ourselves. It is a passing experience that we can get stuck in when we identify with it unconsciously. Otherwise, it is powerful medicine needing our attention and respect. To begin using it, we must start by focusing on the loss and doing some somatic and mental inquiry about that. Think of what you lost and feel all those parts. Where do you feel them in your body? What do they feel like? The anger, the confusion, the fear, the love. We have to be with each of these emotions individually and feel them and also hear what they're in response to. What's the story that creates them? What's the need that they beg for? What are they wishing? Once you've done this, sit with the love. Sit with the love for the person or the event or the situation and just feel that and soak it in. See if it can spread. All of the other emotions I just spoke about are constricting, whereas love and joy are opening, literally dilating your blood vessels and softening your tissues, making your body and mind more flexible. So, identify what you lost, your own death of identity that you may think is about the thing or person that's gone, and notice what those are. What do you believe you lost? What parts of yourself can no longer be here? What can you no longer experience because this person or thing is gone? Then, write those down and find several ways to be or experience those things now. This is what my next guest has done with her grief, and I'll get to that in a moment. I've counseled many, many people in grief, and this is what I've found. All of the scary and constricting emotions from grief were related to what the grieving person lost, their identity, their future, their role in life. It's not as much about the person or thing that has died as we think it is. And that might sound strange, but when they sat in just being with the feeling of the person or thing, the love floods right in and awakens them back to life. When they don't have the loss of identity or the ego death getting in the way, grief becomes more friendly, and the ability to access yourself and your powerful love become the way forward. My guest today is Lauren Michelle. Lauren is a client of mine who came to me through another client referral about 2 years ago. She wanted help with her adrenals and weight loss, and like most clients who come to me for that, we noticed there was a relation between her physical state of health and much deeper unknown, unprocessed trauma. We started noticing the cause of all the adrenaline, overworking. Lauren was the founder of a New York catering company called Naturally Delicious. She worked nonstop 16-hour days, sometimes waking up in the middle of the night to answer emails. Not sometimes, most of the time. She would medicate herself with wine, cheese, and refined carbohydrates like bread and pasta in the late evening from all the stimulation of her day. You see, foods have three distinct effects on our bodies. They either stimulate, depress, or balance. In this case, she was relying on foods that depressed. Cheese, dairy, wine, bread, all extremely concentrated foods that have a depressant-like effect on the nervous system. These foods literally slow down the brain and the body, helping it to relax by exhausting it and feeding it certain chemicals that act like a painkiller. We made this connection very quickly, but what interested me more was the unconscious trauma response that was overworking. There are four main trauma responses: fight, flight, fawn, and freeze. This is what our bodies do when they believe that their lives may be threatened. The threat can be literal, like a car smashing into you. Or it can be impending and imagined, like my boss might fire me, or I think everybody hates me. Lauren was exhibiting a flight response, which I've connected over the years to overworking. Think about it. Overscheduling, endlessly reading emails, having meetings and appointments back to back. How does that feel in the body? How does that register biochemically? it feels like you're running a marathon. And the way I assess this as a somatic therapist is by asking the person one simple question. What happens in your body when you are still? And for those who are overworking from a trauma response, the answer is always uncomfortable, terrified, clenched, panicked, or anxious. The body experiences threat when it's still and a temporary sense of safety when it's in motion. The body is stuck in flight response. And Lauren's was manifested through overworking. As Lauren and I worked somatically, it became clear where the root of her trauma began. She started her business as a single mother who had $1,000 to her name and nothing else. She relied on this business to sustain her and her son's life. She had recently separated from the father and had no support, no one to lean on. Her body had associated safety with owning the business. Even when she came to me wanting to work less and eventually sell her business, her mind wanted one thing, and her body wanted another. And that disconnect became clear through our work together. So we began working on creating safety and identity outside of her business and her identity as the business owner, which is all she was clinging to for over 2 decades. While doing this work, the relationship between her and her son came up. Her son was a professional skateboarder that lived an incredible wild and free life. Full heart on the sleeve kind of guy. Full open heart. Everyone was enamored by him and looked up to him as a sort of master, a young man with a lot of wisdom, prophet-like, and courage. A true leader. Lauren, being a capitalist who owned a multi-million dollar company, was the polar opposite of her son Pablo, and the two triggered the hell out of each other. We decided to turn our work solely on their relationship. And what I love about the work I do is that you don't need the other person in the room. You only need one person in the relationship to get clear. And Lauren did just that. She got really clear. We used the triggers that Pablo brought up like medicine to reflect back onto Lauren's sense of self, her childhood, and her unresolved traumas. Deep down, Lauren was actually jealous of her son's life, the freedom, the carelessness, the open-heartedness, the unapologetic authenticity. They all made her uncomfortable, and she judged them because she wanted them. Through our work together, she became conscious of this and became enamored by his lifestyle and transformed her perception of it from being something that was irresponsible to something that was really courageous and powerful and even important. She fell in love with her son again and began loving him unconditionally. And shortly after, Pablo died while skateboarding. I remember calling her for our normal session and Lauren saying through a very tense, whimpering voice, "This is going to be a very hard call today. Pablo died." Suddenly, I was flooded with grief. I had come to fall in love with this young man through watching Lauren fall in love with him. I had come to know his best parts, his unique heart, and how much he adored his mother and felt so safe with her, and how she was able to show up and love him. I loved him through a mother's eyes, which is the deepest amount of love I can ever imagine. And then the most unorthodox thing one could say to their client passed through my lips. And that those words were, "Lauren, I say this with respect," tears streaming down my face. "I cannot imagine a better way for Pablo to have died. On his skateboard, with purpose, chasing God and running straight into it." Lauren didn't blink an eye. She knew what I meant, because for months we were working on her terror around the possibility of him dying while skating. And through those months, we both learned together how skateboarding for him was just as sacred as meditating for a Buddhist. Why does one death have to be more honorable? Why is there a better age to die? What is wrong with dying at all? Lauren cried with me and was able to leap right into the work we had been doing for months already. The worst thing that she could ever imagine happen just happened, and she was okay. She was breathing. She was feeling love for him. She was alive with grief, not constricting against it, but open to receiving it. And in that moment, I got to experience what I had been teaching people for years, what I had experienced myself, but never saw another person experience until Lauren. I saw someone who was willing to question the grief and learn what it truly was, overwhelming love, which felt like overwhelming pain, overwhelm of sensations, believing he's gone. On April 23rd, 2019, Pablo Ramirez died. 5 days later, Lauren and I had our session about it. And now, today, August 30th, 2020, 16 months after, Lauren is thriving. Immediately after his passing, Lauren began following and listening and respecting the grief. What was it that it wanted her to know? It wanted her to connect herself to herself through Pablo. So Lauren literally started doing what Pablo did, the very thing she abhorred before this. She began tagging buildings with spray paint, specifically rewriting his poetry and phrases on these buildings. She began skateboarding. She befriended an entire community of early 20-year-old skaters who have become her closest friends and, in a way, spiritual children who see her as the parent who gets it. She started working less, simply just not showing up to work at all. She recently sold her business and created the Pablo Ramirez Foundation, which, as the website states, helps kids and young adults develop a positive lifestyle through skateboarding, music, and art. Lauren did not become overrun with grief. She did not identify with the grief. What happened to Lauren is what every parent fears the most, that their children will die before them. And instead of mourning her lost future grandchildren that she would never see, or mourning the way Pablo could never grow up, she did something really radical. She used the grief. She listened to it. She followed it. And even more courageously, she welcomed it for the next day and the next day and the next day. Does she cry? Yes, every day. Does she miss him? Yes, every day. Has the death of her son traumatized her? No. And that's what's so remarkable about her. The death of her son did not traumatize her, it freed her. And she found the permission to live better than she's ever lived before. No medication, no psychotherapy, just somatic work with me, wonderful yoga from her yoga teacher, and the support of her beautiful husband, Hervé, and following her powerful sense of intuition and courage. Lauren's life is now the best it's ever been, and I am so inspired by her that I asked her if she would come on the podcast and share with all of us some of her wisdom. Thank you for being here. You know, it means a lot. And the intention of doing this is to show people there are other ways to heal and grow while grieving. Okay. So I just want everyone to meet you. So if you just want to tell us a little thing about you for now, we can start there.
My name is Lauren, and I'm 54 years old. I'm a mom. I am an entrepreneur. I'm originally from New York City. I'm now on my sailboat right now, and I'm living a very authentic, in-the-moment life where every day matters.
It's a perfect introduction to you. And for those of you listening on the podcast, there's I'm looking at Lauren on her boat, and next to her are two skateboards with her son's name on them. It's very beautiful. So, you know, I'm curious where you want to start. You know, what I'm thinking is we can just start by saying maybe how the early part of the experience was for you. The experience of Pablo's death.
I think, obviously, you're never prepared for this. But Luis and I did a lot of work before Pablo's death, and it was about reconnecting to my son and falling back in love with him. And my son Pablo was a pro skater and lived in San Francisco, grew up in New York City as a jazz musician. And I let, as a parent, let him fly. I mean, I think the things that parents need to do for their kids is teach them to be themselves. And I got to do that with him. And I think a little bit before Pablo passed, you know, there was this fear, of course, when I'd see him, you know, flying down these hills at 30 to 40 miles an hour. Oh my God, what could happen? So, yeah, it was, you never expect something like this to happen. Like with anything in life, you don't know, like, how things are going to go each day. But obviously, getting that call, I always hated to get phone calls from California from anyone other than Pablo, because I would either expect it to be an accident or something really terrible. And I got this call a year and a half ago, and it was probably one of the worst phone calls I've ever received. It was one of Pablo's friends sharing this news about him. I felt, yeah, I was obviously very devastated, and there are no words to describe what it's like. You're with somebody and then you're not with somebody. And I've had time now to process it and come to terms with, like, grief in a really, I think, an amazing way.
I'm gonna pause you there for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, you know, from the moment you heard until we started doing our work around his passing, like, what were those couple days like for you? What was it like to sit in that? You know, was it dissociative? Was it other world? Like, what does it feel like?
It feels like there's, like, he's there, but he's not there. It feels like you're questioning the world, like, where is he? Where do they go? Why? And you almost are not functioning. I mean, I was crying all the time. And thank God I had so many people around me just to cradle me. But it's this surreal experience of, like, where and time. And it's like, that morning I spoke to Pablo and we said we loved each other, and he told me how inspired he was by me and how much he loved me. And I told him the same thing. I always ended our calls with just, like, giving him this just lots of love to say, like, whatever he was doing was amazing, and just keep surrounding himself with, like, people who he's hyped on and inspired by. And yeah, it's like now it almost feels like the same now. It feels like he's here. He's here, but he's not here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think what's so beautiful about that to me is how you gave him that the day he died. So that was in him. That love and that appreciation, that understanding, and that he was important. And I'm so curious, as we're talking about it, and as you feel the pain, or you feel the overwhelm, or you feel the emotions coming through, you know, just to sit with that and just tell me what that means for you. What happens in you when you think of him?
What's that experience like?
I just feel like he's hugging me.
Oh, yeah. Let's just take a moment. Just let yourself feel it. That's okay. Take your time. It's so
beautiful.
I just
feel like he's just here with me all the time.
I think that's the part I'm so interested in people getting, is when you're listening to Lauren and you're hearing this woman who still calls herself a mother and who feels her son with her in her body, hugging her, and the tears are flowing. That's one experience of this. It's not like you've lost him necessarily. He's there in this way, and then you're questioning this other way that he was there before.
Yeah, he's always like, before we got on, I was listening to some jazz because, you know, that is Pablo loved jazz, and I've become a little bit of a jazz nerd because of Pablo, and I just found this CD from when we went to Smalls in the city, and we saw this guy named Kendrick Scott, and he signed the CD to Pablo. He's like, keep playing, and you'd always meet the musicians, and just even putting the CD on this morning on the boat was just like, wow, I just feel the day we were there. And it was like, I'm hyped to like be excited about music and like meet musicians and talk to musicians. And just like, even though I'm not one myself, I just love that I could be free like that and like channel Pablo.
That's the part I wanted to talk about. Because I'm so curious that what I observed through your healing around this is how instead of like there's so many different ways. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, one of the skateboards fell. Yeah, now it's back. What, you know, there's so many different ways we experience emotion. There's so many different reasons why we experience emotion. With grief, when someone dies, one of the most overwhelming things, you know, like I say, there's two things that happen. There's the overwhelming amount of love that doesn't really know where to go. You're just almost like stuck with it, and it takes over your body. And then there's that ego story of what you lose. And what so interests me about what you've gone through, I'm formulating my question as I say this, is instead of you being paralyzed by what you lost, you actually adopted the things about him that you loved in him, and you've begun owning that for yourself. And that's really, really radical. And I want everyone to hear about that process for you, from being this 16-hour-a-day businesswoman to someone who cut off all of her hair and bleached it and started skateboarding. Like, tell us what that was like for you. What was that about?
Just being free, just being unconditionally free, being whatever the F you want to be. It doesn't really matter. It's not that serious. All these stories we tell ourselves about like how we're supposed to like walk in this planet, it's just, they're all not true. It's just every day is a day, and we need to like grab it, because you never know when you're gonna have a day. It doesn't matter. Like, and I've learned to live in like sections and slices of time. And, you know, channeling Pablo for me is just, you know, Pablo was a force. Like, a lot of his friends would say, you, before you saw him, you'd hear him. And a lot of his friends, I mean, I don't think I'm as loud as Pablo, but a lot of his friends, you know, look at me and they're like, oh my God, you guys are so like my energy. And I've started skateboarding, which I skated as a kid. So it's natural for me. When I was between the ages of 9 and 12, skated a lot. And so it's kind of like riding a bike. And it's really amazing because the younger generation who watches me on Instagram skate as somebody who's like a mom figure, it's like, holy fuck, like, how is this woman, like, what, this Pablo's mom is skateboarding? And it's really inspiring for for them to see that. And, you know, last night I took my board on the boat and we took a ferry and I skated a little bit. And my friends who are my age saw me with the board and they're like, wait, what? You're skating? And it's like, they're smiling. And it's just like, wait, these are things that are not supposed to be true. Like, wait, you're not supposed to see the world of, you know, I'm on this fancy yacht club right now. And it's very formal, and to see, you know, all the, you know, all these people look at me with the skateboard, they're like, wait, what's going on?
I love it.
So I like to challenge, and but I'm not doing it for the ego's sake. I'm doing it because I can and I want to, and it feels really great. And
see, that's the part that is important to me, because some people watching this or hearing it, you know, they might think like, oh, she's trying to be her son. Or, you know, she's trying to like cling on. And what's so interesting, I mean, I've counseled hundreds of people who have lost people, and I've seen them, like the ones that cling on, and I understand that idea. What's so interesting about your situation is it follows those really classic like fantasy movies of how the adult, the child with magic grows up, forgets their magic, and then through a child's eyes remembers their magic. And what's so magical about this experience is Pablo's death somehow reconnected you to all the parts of you that he was able to express. Like, these are shared parts. This isn't you adopting him. This is your authenticity that was also part of him. I mean, you share blood. And that's the part that's so important for me to get across, and for you to express how this is your truth.
Yeah. I mean, I was a business owner for 23 years, and my role and as a professional leading a team of 15 full-time employees and 100 part-time employees and being responsible financially for this living, breathing business was like one character. But underneath that character of me was somebody wanting to just honestly, you know, be more like Pablo. And Pablo and I battled a lot about, like, you know, capitalism and corporate identity and you know, he was very politically very to the left, and maybe I was a little bit more in the center. And we would have these really robust conversations. And in the end of it, you know, now I'm realizing like a lot of what he said is true. And I should have been way more open when he and I were talking about certain things. And now I see it and it's very clear to me. And it just feels good living in a way that I don't have to apologize anymore for about being myself. And I feel like very awake in the way I live now.
Stay with that, because I love that. I feel very awake in the way I live. What I love about that is how you walking into a yacht club with a skateboard in your hand, like that's your truth. Because the thing that's beautiful about you is you have this experience of being in the capitalist business world, and now you have this experience of being in this counterculture. And I think for you to be able to merge the two is something very unusual. And so when you said about how these young adults and actually teenagers are looking up to you, like, wow, a mom who gets me, someone who I can bring my fears to, my problems to, my parents don't want to listen, but she can listen. That's, I always tell everybody, trauma is a gift, because trauma is the experience of being threatened. And if you get through the threat, you emerge with this incredible wisdom. And so you really quickly, unusual the speed you went through the grief, not like you don't feel grief, but you allowed yourself to feel it in a way that you were awake to it versus overrun by it. And you listened to the grief, and the grief took you to the park to skate. It took you to the building to tag. It took you to the foundation to create. Like, it took you to the yacht club. Like, you let the grief tell you, don't go to work today. You really started living from a place of intuition versus the I shoulds. And in that is a loss of identity, that when you start living out that loss of identity, you become contradictory. And that's what I love about you right now, is you're a walking contradiction, but it's so good because it's so honest and authentic and true. So I'm just saying that as a little piece because I think it's very inspiring and beautiful. And I wonder, how have you experienced through Pablo's death? How have you experienced, I would even say, a greater understanding of your own life, not even his own life? Because it's clear how you understand him more than ever. How do you understand yourself more than ever?
I just feel more alive, and I feel more in touch with that this is my day. Like, you and I having this conversation right now is right now. Yes, I have plans after this, and have plans in a couple of, you know, for the next 5 weeks we're on the boat. But it's right now. I'm living right now, and I'm here right now. So my life, the way I understand it more, is that I'm allowing expectations to be, like we've said this many times, to be the compass, but being prepared for, being ready for change. You have to be ready for change.
I'm glad you said that, because before Pablo's death, like you had said, and I think I even said in the intro, you know, for half a year or longer, we worked on the fear of his death way before it happened. And so that's a perfect example of you actually knowing that that's true, that if you work on, if you understand what's ahead of you, but you're not attached to it, and you're working on being open to when something shifts or changes, then when the change occurs, it's not as traumatizing.
Yeah, you're not stuck living in the past or the future. You're stuck living in the now. And that's where the awakeness comes. You have to be, I mean, you don't have, you can choose how you want to walk this earth, but it just makes everything more alive. And there's no attachments, just like you said. Expectations are really, can suffocate you. If you cling on to like the coulda, shoulda, woulda, the how, you know, the supposed to be, this and that, you're just going to be stuck.
See, I'm going to bring that right back to grief, because there are expectations that are blooming from when someone dies. You know, you expect life to be dimmer, maybe. You can expect, you know, oh God, I should have had grandchildren. You know, you particularly, I expected this. And now because he died, now I'm expecting this. And it could be a bleak future. I'm curious for you to tell people, how often do you experience those projections of the painful future without Pablo? And how do you bring yourself back to the now?
I don't experience that often. I mean, the pain I experience is just the missing of him, his physical energy, like his aliveness, but what I get in return is I'm surrounded by hundreds of friends of his, and I've probably 20 young adults that I've adopted as like a maternal, like they're my kids. And not only these, you know, wonderful young adults that are in my life now that I'm very, very close with, that are Pablo's friends that have reached out to me. And there are people all over the world that have sent me messages and notes of Pablo that have been mind blowing for me to just, it's hundreds of people have reached out to say, Pablo inspired me. I'm sending you love. I love to see you on a skateboard, or, you know, be safe out there. And you know, I got a note the other day from this guy in Germany who told me that he, you know, was depressed and Pablo uplifted him. And, you know, how? It's like, this is like, it's just really beautiful for me to feel that. And it's not just, you know, the kids. I, you know, get these notes and messages from women in their 40s that have children that are, you know, afraid to go to the skate parks, but now they see me and they're like, they want to go, or they want to skate themselves. And they, you know, are professional women who are connecting with me. Another woman who's, you know, got a 9-year-old son who skates, and, you know, she has an only child just like Pablo. And
what about for parents or people who lost their loved ones and the person they lost wasn't like famous or sub-famous in any way? So they don't have the community reaching out, but they still have those pathways to invoke them, let's say. So in your experience, if we take away the community support, which is amazing, what's it like for you as an individual to connect to him through skateboarding or through somatic meditation and feeling him? Like, tell me about that.
I just feel love. I feel love all the time. Like, I just feel like, wow, if I get on a skateboard, I feel like, wow, Pablo is like he'd be so proud, or he'd be so hyped, or he'd be so inspired. Or if I'm working with the foundation and, you know, we're doing an event and, you know, a cleanup, a park cleanup, or a mural inspo, and a, you know, anything that we're creating for the foundation or the Brooklyn Skate Garden, I'm seeing a lot of energy and feeling like that love. And as it relates to just individually, without all of that, I just feel like, why would I need to spend my time suffering when I can, we get to wake, we are the ones that get to wake up. You and I are awake right now. We are looking, I could see your office, the sun coming in, you know, we get to have the Sunday. This is like, there are a lot of people, and I feel very blessed that every second, you know, that I'm alive, that I get to be living in this planet and, you know, not suffering and not thinking I shoulda, coulda, woulda, because it's not going to serve me and it's not going to bring me forward and let me allow myself to, you know, not enjoy my life. And
see, I really appreciate that. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
I know Pablo would want that. And, you know, it wouldn't, you know, if he were here today and he saw me crying in my bed and like not functioning and not like, you know, being, oh, I wish I had grandchildren, this and that. And he'd be like, are you kidding me? Do something. You had like, what? Don't do that, Mom. This is a terrible idea.
That's the part I like the most of what you're saying, because, you know, in psychology, they call it survivor's guilt. And there's this whole thing where, you know, I have to suffer now because they died. And there's cultures that believe that too, where they just wear black and they mourn for the rest of their lives. And I think what's so nice about your experience, and this is also my experience, is that you're able to have gratitude for the life that flows through you. And you don't have to feel guilty that you're alive. Because feeling guilty you're alive, what you just said, will actually be a disservice to everyone else who is alive, because you're cutting yourself off from the world. And I don't know anyone who would want that for someone who survived. You know, I don't know how Pablo or anyone listening, if you can think of someone who's passed on in your life, how would they want you, why would they want you to not serve your own life anymore? So what I've loved by watching you is how by serving your own life, you've actually served him, because you've made this incredible foundation, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that commemorates him and honors his lineage and his life and his philosophy to help other people. And you, even more than that, before you could even do the foundation, you completely healed yourself on such a major level through his death. You let yourself have the permission to unapologetically live and let it come through however it wanted to without judging it. So when Lauren's saying these things like, there are no expectations of the future, I don't let myself go into the past. The past and the future, that's the cause of all of our suffering, all of our anxiety, all of our depression. Any of us that have depression or anxiety or PTSD or panic, the mind and the body are remembering the past or projecting the future. And they're remembering and projecting things that are stressful, to be clear. You don't have depression if you're remembering hugging Pablo. You have depression if you remember hugging him, then you tell yourself, now life is incomplete because I can't. So when that story rushes in, right, that makes you feel separate from him, that's when the pain comes in. But when you feel that, like when you were crying earlier in this interview and I said, what are you feeling? And you said so much love. It's like, that's a different kind of crying. That's so powerful. You're never really disconnected from him, are you? I think that's the most important part for everyone. You're never really disconnected. And something Lauren and I did early on when Pablo passed, we would do this, I don't know if you remember, we'd do this exercise together of remembering a time where, because Lauren lived in New York City and Pablo lived in San Francisco, so they were on different coasts. And we would meditate on a time when, let's say Lauren was like walking to the office and not thinking about Pablo for a second, and he was still alive and he was in San Francisco and she was fine because her mind wasn't projecting that he's gone, even though physically he wasn't there. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we would really go into those and stretch them out. And it was amazing how we learned the moment the mind tells you you're separate from him, the pain is incredible. But when the mind can, when you can walk away from that mind, understand it, and actually feel in your body, even though my mind says he's gone, I feel him in my heart. There's this constant connection. And I just wonder if that's something that's always with you, or you have to remind yourself, or how does that work for you?
I mean, it comes, I try to remind myself about that as much as possible. And, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, I'm still, I keep wondering, it's been a year and a half and it's not like it's not like I will never stop missing him. Like, I mean, I used to cry pretty much every day for the first year, all like uncontrollable, like I couldn't get out of bed. And there are times that, yeah, I'll still cry for 40 minutes or a half an hour, but I like give myself permission to cry and then give myself permission to feel that the reason I'm crying is just because I just love him so much. I just love him so much.
See, that's the part that moves me, is that reality, that understanding that we're crying, we're feeling this overwhelm. Our minds tell us when we feel overwhelmed or we're crying, there's something wrong. So we look for the story about they're gone or they shouldn't have. But when you bring yourself back to, like you said, I give myself permission to cry, and you take away the idea of it being right or wrong and you just feel it, you start to notice, oh my God, these tears are my love for him.
Yeah,
that is, like, who wouldn't want to feel that? I mean, it's so beautiful to me.
Yeah, it's the most love I've ever felt for anyone.
Yes, and I get that, you know, because I have a 5-year-old daughter. And what's interesting about this as a somatic therapist is when we feel that overwhelm of love, which all of us feel throughout our lives, throughout our days, maybe even for people who are alive, when we call that person or text that person or hold that person or give them a hug, we actually discharge that overwhelm of love. So like if I'm thinking of my daughter right now, let's say, and my stomach starts to get tight and I start to feel almost like a grief because I just want to hold her, that feeling in your arm, you just want to hold. You know, when I go home and I hold her, that there's a regulation that occurs, right? And this is what's so hard when someone passes, is because physically there's no body to discharge all that overwhelming love onto. And that's why I always say grief is love. You're stuck with all the love and it builds. And so I'm curious if for you, when that happens, that buildup and the tears, have you found ways of discharging that, like skating or listening to music or moving your body? I mean, I know you and I do things, but on your own, does anything come to you?
Yeah, I mean, physically, I need to be active. So like riding my bike, skateboarding helps, listening to records, listening to jazz, anything physical, anything. Pretty much that's, I would say, I think it would be hard for me. I often don't like just get quiet. Like I just need, you know, sometimes I will, but often it's being for me outside, to get outside and be like, I need to feel this connection to the universe, that I'm not alone, and there's a bigger force out there that's like guiding all of us. And
for those of you that follow my work or understand somatic work, what Lauren's experiencing when she's doing that is co-regulating. And it's technically self-regulating because she's alone in a body, but her mind and her spirit are allowing her to take in the living world around her. And by doing that, there's a sense of regulation. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love living on a boat, because every day I get to wake up to the universe.
Yep.
And see the, you know, when you live in New York City in Brooklyn in a small apartment without a terrace, you don't get to be outside. I'm outside all the time. I see the stars. I see the sun. I could look at the clouds and be like, oh my God, like I could look at the sky for hours. And I feel really grateful that I get to like live in a place that's like, I'm really living in the world when I'm on the boat.
That's so nice to hear, because nature is one of our best co-regulators. You know, the magnets from the earth, the energy from the earth, the animals, the wind, so many of the elements of the planet will just regulate the nervous system. Yeah. So someone going through grief or depression or overwhelm, whose traumatic impulse would be to curl up in bed, you know, they're shutting themselves out from co-regulation, which, if you're grieving, you really need co-regulation, because you're experiencing a relational trauma where you lost the person. There's a threat in that field of losing someone. So now you really need to feel others. And one of the things that I think helped you so much was your openness to that community. And this is where I want to segue eventually into the foundation, your openness into the skating community and the love, the outpouring love and the way they've held you, you know, has been huge, huge in co-regulating. You have a tribe, and it's very rare in Western America for any American to have a tribe come around them when someone passes. Very rare, but so important. What has that been like for you?
It's insane and amazing. And I am so inspired by the younger generation. They are all so beautiful and wonderful, and I feel fantastic that I get to hang around people and put myself in opportunities to connect. And, you know, it goes both ways. They're looking for inspiration from me, because I, in many ways, are like the cool parent that they can't talk, you know, they don't have with their own parents. But for me, it's really fulfilling to surround myself with so many energizing young people that make me feel so good. And the foundation is a really, you know, a lot of, how should I describe it? One friend of Pablo said he was so happy that I started the foundation, because it's just a vessel where they too can grieve, because not a lot of younger, you know, I'm 54, you know, it's natural when you get older that, you know more people that have passed. But when you're in, you're a teenager or you're in your 20s, it's not the norm that somebody dies at a young age. And he said the foundation is truly a vessel for them as well, and it gives them a place to put energy as well. So there have been, you know, art events and benefits and skate jams and cleanups, and we're in the process of making a mural in Brooklyn dedicated to Pablo.
Just so everyone listening, we're talking about the Pablo Ramirez Foundation, which Lauren and her husband Hervé founded shortly after Pablo's death. Can you just tell everybody what the intention is? Like, what's the goal, or what it happens now that you love about it? What purpose does it serve?
Yeah. So essentially, the foundation is really a nonprofit that raises money to help younger. The goal is for the younger generation to inspire passion in what you do. I mean, honestly, it's geared for the younger generation, but there have been many people who are older that are still inspired by the work of the foundation. And the goal is really to focus on, you know, the disciplines of skateboarding, art, and music. These are the things that Pablo was truly passionate about. And our goal is obviously to raise money, but also to use that money for scholarships. So for kids that, you know, don't have the opportunity to have, you know, private lessons or go to a music school or, you know, have access to painting or art. So there are a couple of organizations that we're working with currently in donating money to allow that inner expression, because I think what was really special about Pablo, he wasn't just so one-dimensional being a skateboarder. He had other interests. So I think this is really important that you're not like, you know, I'm a chef, right? That's my entrepreneur. Chef is like my original place of where I was putting my profession, but I'm not that anymore. So it's important to allow a space for inspiration to come and that expression.
I just want to thank you for that. That's a beautiful service you're providing, and it's growing. You know, it's so young, but it's already done so much. So that's the PabloRamirezFoundation.com. Is that the website?
It's PabloRamirez.org is the website.
Got it.
And on Instagram, it's Pablo Ramirez Foundation.
Okay, everybody. So website, PabloRamirez.org. Instagram, Pablo Ramirez Foundation. And I'll include a link in the details of the episode. I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing and being so open-hearted. And I feel so lucky that you came into my life, because as much as you say I help you, you've helped me a lot through this. It's been very inspiring. And I really hope other people listening, I know people listening are going to be as inspired by your story for how one of the greatest traumas of a person's life, especially a mother's, turned into one of her greatest gifts in knowing herself and her son even better. That's really, really beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Luis.
I wanted to dedicate this episode to Pablo because his incredible life and legacy and memory has continued to transform people, possibly even more after his death. That's what memory can do. That's the power of feeling somebody in your heart. Is you can carry them and you can deepen into that experience of them and with them, just like his mother, Lauren, shared with all of us. So I wanted to dedicate this episode to him and read one of his poems. Don't fret, breathe, patience, give thanks. Praise blessings. Love is the way. Peace be with all. Don't fret. This is temporary. We are only one. Here now together. Gone later. Appreciate, learn, share, grow, adapt, love, together, dream. Give more, take less, plant seeds, respect earth, respect yourself. You are earth. Away. That's by Pablo P. Spliff Ramirez. And they're pretty simple, beautiful words to live by. The mission of the Pablo Ramirez Foundation is to promote a positive lifestyle through skateboarding, music, and art for kids and young adults. The foundation is devoted to helping youth grow positively and with confidence, to create, to respect, and to express themselves. They believe that they can make the world a better place by helping people find joy in what they love. The foundation hand-selects key nonprofit partners with goals that are consistent with what mattered most to Pablo, which essentially is what you just heard me read. The foundation gives grants and scholarships to kids and young adults in need. They host skateboard, art opening, and music events that further the foundation's mission. And they invite everyone to join the Pablo Ramirez Foundation to help build the momentum in doing something that matters and has a powerful impact on the lives of others. To join or to make a donation, simply visit pabloramirez.org. You can also follow Lauren on Instagram at Mama Spliff with three Fs. You can follow the foundation on Instagram at Pablo Ramirez Foundation. And you can follow the Brooklyn Skate Garden at Brooklyn Skate Garden. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. My question for you is, where do you feel the episode? Take a breath and just notice. What's your body doing right now? Sit with it. Let it speak to you. And let whatever comes up, come up. And your only job is to listen. For all the wisdom you need is right inside of you. For more information on my work, including my online courses and healing circles, please visit holisticlifenavigation.com. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, where I share weekly philosophies and resources to help you release stress and trauma from your body so that you can live a happier life. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.